My gallo wine. You ought to try gallo wine. That rich, full-bodied flavor, so smooth you'll say it's divine. You'll do yourself a big favor when you ask for gallo wine. So buy gallo wine. You ought to try gallo wine.
Come on, amigo, what you waiting for?
Get a bottle of gallo at your favorite store.
Product of the Gallo Winery, Modesto, California.
KFWB presents direct from New York, Henry Morgenthau, Jr., Secretary of the Treasury under the late President Roosevelt, with his authoritative comments on national and world affairs. These programs are brought to you each Wednesday night at 6:15 and are presented in the interest of an informed and enlightened public. And now, Mr. Henry Morgenthau, Jr.
Good evening. Tonight I want to clarify for you the actual state of affairs that now exists with regard to homes for veterans. The Veterans Emergency Housing Bill, usually referred to as the Patman Bill, is on the President's desk awaiting his signature. But this, unfortunately, does not mean that you can now relax and assume that our veterans are automatically going to get the low-cost homes they are entitled to. The Veterans Emergency Housing Bill can work if the American people are ready to insist on the rest of the legislation that will permit it to work, in particular, the OPA. In other words, the danger signals are still up, and I think that you should know what still remains to be done. The purpose of the new bill is to stem the crisis by aiding the construction of 2,700,000 homes in the next 2 years, with veterans getting first preference. The bill proposes to stimulate the construction of new housing by subsidizing the manufacturers of building materials if they increase their production or turn out new products. It also retains the priorities and allocation system of channeling building materials to construction of new homes rather than to other less urgently needed types of buildings. And it provides for an increase of $1 billion in the authority of the Federal Housing Administration to issue mortgage insurance so that veterans can buy these new homes with as little as 10% down. This law is therefore a short-term, intensive emergency measure. It is meant to provide decent housing in the shortest possible time for the countless veterans and their families who are now cooped up in rooming houses, expensive hotel rooms, or in crowded homes of relatives. But even this temporary relief measure met with no enthusiasm from the irresponsible in Congress. It was the first proposed last February by Wilson Wyatt, the courageous young national housing expediter. But the House of Representatives kicked it around for weeks before their fear of what the constituents back home would say caused them to pass it last Monday. For every day that they dawdled, 3,000 homes were lost to American veterans. 3,000 homes. The laws enacted by Congress differs in two important respects from that proposed by Wyatt. The subsidy fund of $600 million requested by Wyatt was cut by a third to $400 million. And Wyatt's proposal to put a ceiling price on already existing homes was left out altogether. You will understand the significance of this when I tell you that the prices of existing homes have risen 65% since 1940. Since VJ Day in particular, the rate of price increase has been 3% a month and is still going strong. It is true that it costs more to build a new house today. Specifically, as a national average, it costs about 37% more than it did in 1940. But today, you don't pay just 37% more for an old house. You pay 65% more. Who gets the difference? The speculators? The profiteers? The smart money real estate operators who are represented in Washington by powerful lobbies like the National Association of Real Estate Boards and the Producers Council. Wyatt's proposal was simply this. Suppose a man owns a house. He would be permitted to sell it once at any price he could get for it. But if the house is again put up for sale after that, that same price would be considered the ceiling so long as the emergency lasts. In other words, if he got $10,000 for the house, $10,000 would thereafter be considered the ceiling price. This would have done nothing, of course, to roll the real estate prices back from their present dangerously inflated level. Mr. Wyatt was just trying to work out a compromise. But the real estate lobbies would hold still, even for that. They know perfectly well that millions of dollars of black market money, a lot of it in the form of $1,000 bills, is being poured into real estate speculation. Evidently, they are unwilling to put an end to it. As far as the real estate lobbies are concerned, real estate prices can go on rising till kingdom come, even if the average American and the veteran are reduced to living in cellars. This gives you a measure of the mentality of the Washington lobbies which oppose the Veterans Emergency Housing Act. They have now suffered a partial defeat with the passage of the act, but you can be sure that they think it is only temporary. They have an ace in the hole, and they are now ganging up with other selfish lobbies to use it. What is this trump card they think they hold? It is the fight to kill OPA. They know that without a hard-hitting, well-organized OPA, enjoying the full backing of the administration, the Veterans Emergency Housing Act is practically useless. The purpose of this act is to build 2,700,000 houses in the next 2 years. But these houses must be the kind that veterans will be able to afford. The average veteran wants a house that sells for about $6,000. He's ready to make payments of about $50 a month for it, including principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. What would happen if the OPA were killed, or if the present OPA bill, with all its vicious amendments, were passed in its present form by the Senate? The prices of building materials would leap to dizzy levels virtually overnight. The cost of living would skyrocket, resulting in another serious crisis between labor and management, which would inevitably retard construction. The nation would be pitched into a whirling spiral of inflation in which it would be impossible to construct houses for $6,000. The veteran's dream of a decent home of his own would vanish, and in a matter of months, the bubble would burst, and we'd be faced with the prospect of economic collapse. We know this would happen because it happened before. We had no OPA after the First World War. In the 13 months between April 1919 and April 1920, the price of building materials rose 72%. Forced up by inflated prices, wages for construction labor rose above 35%. You may remember the result. The building boom that started early in 1919 lasted about 6 months. It blew up in our faces almost before it began. We Americans should be capable of learning from our own recent history. If we do, we need not endure this bitter experience again. We have the first measure by which we can avoid it, the Veterans Emergency Housing Act. Now we need an energetic and efficient OPA, or we will have no new low-cost homes in spite of this act. It is essential that the American people make their voice heard in Washington with redoubled volume if the OPA is to be kept alive. And other measures are needed with almost equal urgency. The proposal of Wilson Wyatt to put an end to speculation and profiteering in real estate by placing a ceiling on the prices of existing housing must not be allowed to go forgotten. Your congressman should be forcibly reminded that it was not included in the present bill. And finally, the Wagner, Ellender, Taft General Housing Bill passed by the Senate on April 15th must not lie dormant in the House of Representatives. For it is this bill that will lower housing costs and stimulate the construction of decent homes for low-income and middle-income groups by private enterprise and provide America with a permanent, long-term public housing program that will clear the slums. The National Association of Real Estate Boards, the Producers Council, and other Washington lobbies are united in fighting all these measures. An articulate and aroused public opinion can help counterbalance their efforts. But we need more. It is high time that the administration itself, and above all, President Truman, implement words with deeds to press for immediate congressional action. Chester Bowles urgently needs wholehearted administration support in his magnificent and so far almost single-handed fight for a real OPA, the kind of OPA we must have to maintain a balanced economy. Men like Wilson Wyatt, Paul Porter must not be left in isolation to fight the lobbies, nor must the Civilian Production Administration be permitted surreptitiously to dilute the order holding up commercial construction in the favor of desperately needed dwellings. There's one final point I want to impress upon you with the greatest seriousness. America is now approaching her most critical post-war period. I warn you of this on the basis of 12 years' experience as Secretary of the Treasury and as a veteran foe of inflation. All the elements of explosion will make themselves felt in our economy with violent strength in the era of reconversion and transition between now and the summer of 1947. That period will decide our future. One way leads to inflation and inevitable depression and misery. The other towards a prosperous and stable American economy which offers jobs for all. The American people must lead the way. This is a time for positive deeds, both by you, by Congress, by President Truman and his associates. Good night.
Listen in again next Wednesday evening at 6:15 for another commentary by Henry Morgenthau, Jr. These programs are presented by KFWB direct from New York in the interest of an informed and enlightened public. Tonight's commentary by Mr. Morgenthau will be rebroadcast by KFWB tonight at 9:45.
Stand by for America Dances. It follows in just a moment.